Praise God. Praise God. You know, it is always good. The Bible says that we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. And praise and thanksgiving is actually what sets us up for God's blessing. It introduces him into the situation, and it really places us in a place where God is simply blessing us, because we understand that to come in to his presence with a gift of praise gives him an opportunity to breathe on that and to bless us with everything we need in our lives. Amen. I thank God again for blessing me to be able to come before you all today and to actually just stand in for my friend Tom. When he called me, I was very happy to accept the invitation. Myself and my wife and my family, we consider you all family. And so I really feel like today I'm standing in front of family, which is good. If everyone today will go in their Bibles to Matthew 28:16 and through 20, we're going to study about a commandment that Jesus Christ left us. And when you have that, if you will, say amen. Great. Verse 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." And verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and he spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Go with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for another day. Lord, I just thank you for giving me the opportunity to do your will. Lord, I thank you for the word that you have prepared for your people. I ask that I decrease and that your Holy Spirit within me increase, so that your word finds hearts and minds, and that it finds the places where you're sending it, so that the scriptures fulfill, that your word will not go out void, but it will accomplish everything that you have planned for it. Bless everyone today, Lord, and thank you so much for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. The topic that we have for today is, God, you said do this, now what? That's a question that we have often as Christians, because God has given us this commandment to go into all the world. He's given us this commandment that we are to teach all people about Jesus Christ. And God, being the type of God that he is, he gives a command, but he does not always give us all the steps and all the stages. And because each one of us are individuals, God actually has given each and every one of us a command to do certain things in this world. We are unique, every one of us, in the way that God has made us, in the way that we think, in the way that we talk, in the way that we interact with each other. And the beautiful thing about God is that he, being a God that is all creating, has created us just like that. But within his body, we are uniquely, the scripture says, fitted together. So every one of us has to go to God on a regular basis and say, Lord, you told me to do this. You told me to be an evangelist. You told me to be a missionary. You told me to be an usher. Now what? How do I go about doing the things that you've commanded me to do? Amen. And so we ask him, now what? We that confess Jesus Christ as Lord have been given an assignment by him to deliver a message to the world. And this assignment, unlike other assignments that God gives us, it is a commandment. In Scripture, he said, go into all the world. In Scripture, he says, teach them. And he says that they are to observe. So God making us in His image and in His likeness, giving us choice and will. You know, we have the choice and will where we will live eternity. We have the choice and the will to make decisions to live for God or to live for ourselves. But in this scripture here, Jesus specifically tells them, go, meaning there is no choice. When Christ enters into our hearts and we name the name of Christ Jesus, we have a mandate to share Him with the world. It is not a choice. It is a commandment. And what God is looking for is our request, Lord, how do I do that? How can I best share you with men? Amen? In Matthew 10 and 8, it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. So now it's like Jesus has upped the ante, because He says, I want you not only to go into the world and to teach people and to command them that this is an opportunity for them to have eternal life, but while you're doing that, I want you to heal the sick. I want you to cleanse the lepers. I want you to raise the dead. I want you to cast out devils. Freely, this gift has been given to you. Now I want you to give it just as freely. And the question is, in so many churches today, where did the power go? Where did this ability to heal the sick and cleanse lepers and raise the dead and cast out devils, where did it go? Did it leave, or is it simply dormant? Is it simply dormant, just waiting for an opportunity to arise, just waiting for an opportunity to manifest itself? We know that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, the scripture says. And this means that He was sent to address every spiritual need in the earth realm today. Him being the fulfillment of the law means that when Jesus is on the inside, the power is always going to be there. It may appear to be dormant. It may appear that it is not active. But when Christ Jesus enters our heart, that power remains. Amen? So it means that if it is there, and we know it is, simply put, as long as you have Jesus, you have everything that you need. And so we're simply saying, God, you said for me to do this. You said for me to live for you. You said for me to be an example of you. Now what? Now that it is established that Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and in earth, and He lives on the inside of me, I acknowledge that. Now what? And then we're quiet. We're quiet and we wait for His Holy Spirit to reveal to us how we fit into the body. Remember, we are all different parts of the body of Christ. We all have different roles. The scripture says that your role is different than your role, and your role is different than your role. But when we all work together, and when we all move forward together, then we find that Jesus Christ is His commandment in the Great Commission, that we go and that we teach and that we heal and that dead people are raised from the dead. It's all fulfilled because we are in Him. Amen. We look at that scripture in Matthew 10 and 8, and it says, heal the sick. And that seems so great today. And yet I was in Sunday school today, and I was teaching grade, and we were learning about how God's miraculous work is manifested in the earth. And we rejoiced about the fact that He was sick with the same thing that my son was sick. And yet He is sitting here today, and my son is here today. That is an example that we see in Exodus 15 and 26 that says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. as long as Jesus is on the inside of us, then we always have healing power that is resting. And while it may seem dormant, it does not appear what is there. We know that it's still there. It's still present. It's still waiting for opportunity. Amen. The scripture also says, raise the dead. And we see in John 10:10, the A clause, I am the Lord. It says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ is on the inside. And with him being on the inside, we have not only do we have life, but we have it more abundantly. I've got Jesus Christ in me. You have Jesus Christ in you. And that means you have all that you need and you got enough Jesus to share with somebody else. When you see the dead things in people's lives, I want you to understand that that part of you that is spiritual and that part of you that is redeemed and that part of you that has the atoning blood of Jesus Christ covering it is there to remind you that he is there to give them life. And that life often comes from an encouraging word from you. It often comes from a prayer that is needed at that time in their life. And if you're willing to share life, then we see that we are exemplifying raising the dead. You know, we know that God is able to raise people from the dead. But how many of you know that the greatest resurrection from the dead is to be resurrected from a deadness of sin into life eternal through Jesus Christ? How many of you know that if I have to be raised, raise me from death to life? If I am going to be raised, raise me from a place of not knowing about Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, to a place where I can raise my hand and say, he is Lord and Savior. And my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I know where I'm going to spend eternity. And as I get to that place where I get to eternity, I'm going to share him with you along the way. I'm going to share that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not because of what I have read in a Bible, but because I have become the Bible as I read scripture and it enters my heart. Amen. So the question should not be, has God given me an assignment? Has God given me a calling? That's established. We all have an assignment. We all have a calling. Our question should be, what do I do next? God, I accept the fact that I'm here for a purpose. I accept the fact that I'm here for your glory, for your will to be done. Now I need next steps. I need you to take me to the next step. And we wait for the response. Micah 6:8 shares with us that he has shown thee, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Sometimes all God wants us to do is walk humbly. To realize we don't have all the answers. We don't know which way to go. We need his help and we need his direction. And when we're in that mode of submission to him, knowing that we are weak, that we are frail, that we make mistakes, that we come up short, but that our hope and our trust and our faith is always moving toward Jesus Christ, then that is pleasing to him. Amen? God usually never gives the full picture of what is going on in our lives. He usually just gives us a command and says, do it. He spoke to Abraham and said, leave the land where you live now and go to the land I'll show you. And Abraham got up and started moving. And the Bible says that it was counted to him for righteousness. Moving, when God gives you command, in God's sight, is righteousness. Amen? Believing him, when he says believe, in his sight, is righteousness. He said to Nehemiah, rebuild the city. Rebuild the walls. And Nehemiah said, well, let's go, people. It's time to rebuild cities and walls. And God counted him as righteousness. What God has told you to do and what God has commanded you to do, sometimes you have to step back and say, have I done it? There are probably ideas in this church right now, if you'll think about it, that God said, I want you to write this book. If you will just write the book, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you understanding. I'm going to remind you of circumstances and conditions and situations to put in the book. And now this sermon today is to remind you that there are things that God has said for you to do that may seem dormant, but a sermon like this is meant to remind you of what he wants you to do. And God wants to hear you say, okay, now what? What are next steps? Amen. Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Sometimes we have to have that all things faith to move the mountains in our lives. Sometimes it's that all things, him doing all things faith to move sicknesses and sadness and sometimes debt and worry and stress off of us. Sometimes we have to just believe in him and believe his word, regardless of what other people are saying to us. Regardless of what the situation looks like, we believe and we trust in him, and we believe that he has everything in his hands. William H. Bathurst wrote, oh, for faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe, that will not murmur nor complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain will lean upon its God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. Lord, give me such a faith as this, and then whatever may come, I'll taste even here the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. That is the faith that tested, that tried faith. Knowing that God told you to do something. God gave you a task. God gave you an assignment. And now I want you to be encouraged today that God has given you the ability to do it. He just wants to hear what are the next steps. We hear the call of God, and we can feel the shift of God, shifting us into new dimensions of faith and praise and service to him and to the sheep that he has said that we are to care for. And today, God is giving us a reminder. He is reminding us that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us, and that Great Commission stays in place to go. And what is so amazing about that is that he says that we are to be the examples that people will observe. See, there's one thing to read the scripture, but there's another thing to observe Jesus Christ in someone. And so today we are being challenged by the Holy Spirit to raise ourselves up in a way where we seek God more, where we run after him, where we long for him, where he has our attention, where when he calls, we say, yes, Lord. You know, sometimes we treat God like we have him on caller ID and we scream him. He says, get up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning like you used to when you were seeking for me. And you say, oh, God told me to get up. I didn't get that message, Lord. We're like caller IT with God. And we need to get to the place where when he speaks to us, we hear him as obedient children. And he can depend on us to do his will. In closing, I just wanted to share a story with you that God wanted me to share with you. And as I was actually preparing for the sermon, I had the same or similar prayer that I usually have. And it's, God, what should I say to your people? I don't want me to be in it. I just want you to use me to say whatever I need to say, and then I want to sit down. I need it to be like that, Lord. And he's faithful. He always gives me that. And so God said, share with them about the car you had in high school. And I said, Lord, you're going to get me kicked out of there. I can't go up there and talk about a car. Lord, I don't think I heard you. And I start using my caller ID for him. That was a bad call. Let him call me back. And he said, share it. So I'm going to share it. When I was in high school, the first car that I had was a 1970 Ford Maverick. Okay? It had three on the tree, which means that it had the manual transmission. It had the manual shifter. We didn't have that thing in the floor, which was super cool. We were on the column, you know? And it was sitting out in the front of my house. I was a sophomore at the time, and I was excited about the fact that I was going to be able to drive to school. I couldn't wait. The car looked terrible. It was covered in leaves. It was covered in dirt. It didn't look good, but guess what? I went out there with water and hose and soap, and it looked great. Candy apple red, trimmed in black. Awesome, beautiful car. So I got out there, put my key in the ignition, nothing. Oh, my Lord. We aren't going to be going to school in this tomorrow. I got with my dad, and my dad said, oh, it's okay. You know, he was a mechanic, among other things. He's very handy. He says, okay, we'll work on it. We changed the spark plugs. We changed the spark plug wires. We changed the oil. We needed new tires. For 2 weeks, 2.5 to 3 weeks, we're working on this car every day after school. And every day that we came home, I had an expectation that the next day, because he was going to take me out, we're going to get the tag, I'm going to be rolling, insured, and everything the next day. It didn't happen. About 2.5 to 3 weeks went by. As we continued to work on it, I remember that beautiful, wonderful day. I think the sun was perfect that day. It was a cool, crisp breeze that was blowing down Jones Street in Cleveland, North Carolina. And the car popped. There was a popping sound. And my dad went up the street, and he's changing gears along the way. And I'm just excited because I'm thinking about all the hard work that we did getting this thing running, up and running. And I could see myself riding the next day. I could see my arm hanging out the window, and I'm waving, you know, doing that high school wave when you get your first vehicle. Everybody's done that. He comes back down the street, and he parks it. And then he says, let's go inside. I said, wait a minute. And I wanted to start using caller ID on him at that point. I said, wait a minute. We have this thing running. We need to get to DMV. He says, Doc, that's my nickname. Doc, you can't drive this car. I said, what? He says, when you got your driver's license, you learned on an automatic. This is a straight drive. You don't know how to drive this car. We have it running now, but now I have to teach you how to drive this. And that story, God reminds me of that because that's the way we are. God gives us an assignment. He gives us a gift. He tells us to do something for Him. He tells us to be witnesses. And up until now, we felt like we had all the answers. Boy, we're driving that automatic. And when we say people, God bless you, I'll be praying for you, and we keep it moving. But what He wants us to understand is that there's a deeper depth of our gifting. There's a deeper depth of where we need to go in Him. There's more to what we should be doing in Him. This is something new that has been here. That car was sitting out front for 2-3 years. My mom is sitting here 2 or 3 years waiting on me to get old enough and responsible enough that my dad would let me drive it. It was sitting there. That's what's happening. Gifts are here. Callings are here. Everything that God wants in you is on the inside. And it's like that car that is just sitting. And what God will do when we are willing to do the work, because we had to do some work to get this thing moving and up and running. And Lord knows, I tried to learn how to drive that stick as quickly as I could. I think I might have set the record. I set the record, I'm sure, because I asked him to take me out until I felt comfortable. And now it doesn't matter. It can be on the column. It can be on the floor. I know how to drive now. That's where we are today. When we surrender to his spirit, when we understand that God wants us to do something in his heavenly kingdom on earth so that we can be prepared to go to heaven, to live eternally with him, we just say yes. We understand the fact we can't drive this thing. We don't know how, but we know that we have on the inside of us in Christ Jesus someone that can help us to get to where we need to go. Amen? Amen. The word today is given to teach us what God wants from us. It is given, the scripture is given to challenge us to go to a place in God that only his Holy Spirit can take us. And so we always have to understand that he's here with us, but that the Holy Spirit really truly knows what we need. And today, the main thing, the most important thing about doing the will of God is to have a relationship with him. It is to know him as Lord and Savior. It is to be transparent with him because he knows us. He knows who we are. He knows where we are. He knows our shortcomings. It's just like the car. That car wasn't going anywhere. That transmission was frozen. And it took a lot of work to get it broken, to get it operable again. The car could always run, but it took work to get there. And that's the way it is with our lives. We have to always be willing to go to the altar and to say, Lord, I'm here. I'm broken. I really am stuck. Can you get me unstuck? And today, the altar is open for those who say, I want to know more about Jesus. The altar is open. For those who say, I need him in my life as Lord and Savior, the altar is open. For those who are just willing and courageous enough to say, I know him as Lord and Savior. I have been doing everything that I can, but I come to the altar because I want to know how to do this new thing. It's open today. And I would welcome anyone to come to the altar today. Amen. Amen. And I'll turn it over to Chris. Thank you so much.
Number 287, the altar is open.